Today on Barca Talk, FC Barcelona have won La Liga with a goal from Leo Messi against Levante after a midweek win over Alaves. FCB Femini have advanced to the UEFA Women's Champions League final in Budapest with a crucial victory over Bayern Munich in front of a record crowd in the Mini Estadi. And there are rumors of Malcolm and Jasper Cillessen leaving Barcelona in the summer. And Barca B suffered an unfair defeat to Valencia Mestalla in Segunda B. First, some news. There are two possible player exits in the summer that seem pretty likely. ESPN has reported that Malcolm is looking to leave Barcelona, and the club is willing to transfer him if they can recover what they paid for him in the first place. Malcolm was set to move to Roma when Barcelona snatched him up for 40 million euro at the last minute. He's struggled to see minutes under Ernesto Valverde, and it isn't any wonder why, Valverde having referred to Malcolm as a signing made by the club, implying that he had not sought out Malcolm himself and didn't see him in his plans for the team. Malcolm has made a total of 19 appearances and scored 4 goals. FC Barcelona should have no trouble, though, in getting a transfer fee equal to what they initially paid, as Malcolm's market value increased the moment he signed with Barcelona. The ESPN report cites interest from a number of large European clubs, including Roma, Inter, and AC Milan, as well as Premier League clubs Tottenham, Arsenal, and Everton. Meanwhile, goalkeeper Jasper Cillessen has made it clear that he wants to play more, and he knows he'll have to go somewhere else to do it. Despite being the first-choice keeper for the Copa del Rey, Cillessen has not played a single minute in any other competitions. When asked about his future after winning La Liga by Zigo Sport, he said, "First, I'm going on holiday, and then I hope that I'll have a new club to play for, because I want to play." The Argentine Football Association have just opened their online shop for sales in China, and in 3 days, the sales outpaced the monthly sales of Real Madrid and Manchester City. The majority of the sales, of course, were for Leo Messi merchandise. The man who knows how to be in the right place at the right time, as it turns out, is Arturo Vidal. With Barcelona's win on Saturday, sealing La Liga, Vidal has now won 8 consecutive league titles, first with Juventus from 2012 to 2015, then with Bayern Munich from 2016 to 2018, and now with Barcelona. And the Barcelona women's team have just earned a spot in the UEFA Women's Champions League final in Budapest on May 19th. They defeated Bayern Munich 2-0 on aggregate, 1-0 in the first leg in Munich, and 1-0 on Sunday at the Mini Estadi. This will be the first time Barça Femení have made it to the final. They will face the current holders, Olympique Lyon. More on that in a moment. All right, this is Barça Talk, everybody. I'm Brian Henderson. I'm in Buffalo, New York. And joining me, as always, from Madrid is Gabriel Quiroga.
Brian, my Barça brother from another mother. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing way better than I was 2 days ago. 2 days ago, Friday, was the 0 hour. I completed my dissertation. And over the weekend, I've been making some sort of like final tweaks and edits, but I got the thing done. There is a printed version now, and now we're on to the next stage of the process. But man, this last week has especially been really intense, writing and finishing this piece of music. But one, it's done, most importantly. Two, I'm really happy with it. I think it's going to be a very, very beautiful piece of music. And that's, you know, that's kind of my goal. That's like what I'm after.
Nice. I'm glad that you're able to finish it, because I know you were under the gun and a little stressed out. So I'm glad to hear that you finished it. So
yeah, and we didn't post as many infographics because I was working on that. I canceled the class that I teach on Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays. I teach a class from 1 to 2 in the afternoon, and on Friday and all week I was just sort of like Monday and Wednesday I'm rolling into class. Sort of like, all right, here's a Beatles tune. Let's talk about it. I have nothing planned. And Friday, I just canceled it entirely. But, it was just one of those weeks.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's done. There's light. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and I am at the end of the tunnel.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's coming, you know? When you were here, we were talking about it. I know you were stressed about it. So it's good. It's one step closer.
Yes, one step closer.
Yeah.
Now I just need to find an alto singer. So if there are any alto singers in Buffalo, New York, who are interested in singing some music for money, get in touch with me. Now I have a couple of lines on it, but I had someone lined up and she backed out for personal reasons, which is totally fine. I don't want to coerce anyone into doing something they're not comfortable with. And, you know, if they feel like they're too busy and overworked, I completely understand that. So, you know, she backed out, but now I have to find a replacement and I think I'll be fine. There's singers around. But anyway, so speaking of women, let's talk about the FCB Femenie, because obviously the men's team clinched La Liga on Saturday. We're going to talk about that. And we probably should take a moment of celebration to celebrate. I mean, there are many things to celebrate right now.
There are.
I finished my dissertation.
Yes.
The men's team have won La Liga. So they're one third of the triplete is done.
Yep.
With three games left to go. And we could see what kinds of like mad scientist tactics Valverde might come up with in these last three games. I always hope that when you clinch La Liga with 2-3 matches left, that the last three are just kind of like just total experimentation.
Sure, sure.
Give everyone a shot. Everyone plays. So we've got that. But then also the women, they're on to the Champions League, the Women's Champions League final in Budapest. They're going to be playing Lyon, and this is their first final ever. So, and since we don't have a segment from Michelle this week about the Femenie, I think we need to take a couple minutes here at least to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we talked about their plan of trying to reach the Champions League final that they've implemented about 4 or 5 years ago. And so finally, this is one step closer to that dream. You know, I was watching the second half of the match. It was pretty intense match, just because, you know, they had a 1-0 lead on the first leg in Bayern. They got the away goal, which was huge. But, you know, it was, man, Bayern was really after it. And FC Barcelona was kind of playing not to lose for most of the game. But you can just tell how important the moment is. I mean, the first thing, the record crowd that was at the Mini Estadi was incredible. They had about 12,700 people show up, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, the women on our club, they don't get very big crowds. And yeah. Michelle has talked about how a part of that is because the club doesn't really push the women's team from a marketing standpoint very hard. So they don't get very big crowds. And, you know, that's not too far from capacity. The Mini Estadi seats just a little over 15,000. So that place looked full.
Yeah, yeah. And not only was it full, but everyone was into the match as well. Everyone could feel the importance of the match and everyone was into it. And so, yeah, we've highlighted about it, because if you compare them to Athletic Bilbao or Atletico Madrid, they definitely push their women's team a little bit more. They get a really good support for the games. And, you know, FC Barcelona, they just need to do that. We've talked about how just, you know, sending some people in front of the Mini Estadi and just directing them for free matches just can fill it up very quickly, because everyone wants to see and support FC Barcelona, especially if you're a fan of the men's team.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think part of it is from the club's perspective, I get the sense that they feel like, look, we have a huge marketing machine behind the men's team. We have one of the best teams in the world. We have the best player in the world. We can be successful as a club and still essentially, you know, finance all sure. of these other sports, including the women's first team, but also, you know, what, the handball, the,
yeah.
the futsal, yeah. just with the you know, the revenues that the first team generates. So I feel like they're, you know, I think that part of the reason that they don't push the women's team is as much is that they don't feel like they have to. Whereas a club like Atletico Madrid or Athletic Bilbao, their women's team is kind of like another actual, almost like revenue source for them.
Sure, sure.
But yeah. Still, it just feels a little wrong that we have such a high-class women's team that's continuing to improve, and now we're in the Champions League final, first time ever. You know, you need to not just give them some attention, but also like look at them for what they are, which is a real, you know, viable part of your business.
Yeah, 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 definitely. And that's the thing is, you know, you can just connect the community even more, you know, especially with young female players that are striving for role models, you know, just letting them, you know, communicating with the club teams around the area to bring them be more active. It doesn't take that much, you know. I know the FC Barcelona Twitter and the Facebook, I mean, they do enough to publicize it, but I just, as we've talked about, it just takes one person or two people in front of the Camp Nou to direct people, and they could easily fill that up every game with about 5,000 to 7,000 people easily. You know, the tickets are free. So just to be able to do that, especially, you know, if you go on a weekend to visit the Camp Nou and no one's playing, you know, the men's team aren't playing, but the women are playing and they're just across the street. It's such an easy sell. So we've talked about that. And yeah, I mean,
and the tickets are free.
And the tickets are free, but they make it very complicated to get the tickets as well. You have to go to a different ticket stadium, of course, you know?
Of course.
They never just make it easy. They can never just have a ticket stand at the Mini Estadi just to make it one streamlined process, you know?
Right.
But that's for another day. But, you know, like you said,
yeah,
like you said, Athletic Bilbao, for example, and Atletico Madrid, they're looking as revenue streams. So that helps their overall funding for everything. Whereas FC Barcelona's men's team, you know, funds basically everything because they're so popular worldwide. So I get that, you know, they have so many sports as well. You know, they, like we talked about, handball, basketball, et cetera. So they have their own things, but again, you know, they just need to, if they just put, you know, 20% more effort into the women's team, they would get great rewards for those.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I can tell you that, sure, you know, social media is one thing, but if you're just walking around Barcelona, I noticed this when we were over there recently, is that you could walk around Barcelona and be a very, very aware of the club and the men's team and have no idea that there's a women's team.
Sure, sure. Yeah. You know, for example, in Plaza Catalunya, there's an FCB store, right? And they have two people in front with like a backpack and they have a balloon. So on game days, they still try to sell tickets, you know, to tourists. But a great way they could do that, and they can even charge €5 and people would still go. And they can still even make a profit in these games, but they just have to put it out there, you know, especially in the FCB store. You know, when it is game day for the women's, just publicize it inside the store. Hey, you know, like they have those electronic boards around the FCB store. So just highlight that and just, you know, have your interns make money for the team as well. What's you know, just have that money go directly to the women's team. And they'll, you know, man, it would just be great for the whole community. And not only that, but like, for young children who may not be able to afford to go to a men's team, they can still watch quality soccer at the Mini Estadi watching the women's team.
Yeah. Now, about this game specifically, so this was the second leg of the semifinal tie. As you mentioned, we got the away goal in the first leg. And so in this leg, there were a couple of notable moments.
There was. So when I watched the second half, it was, you know, they got the goal right before halftime on a penalty call for Martins. I mean, she was completely mugged in the box. I mean, she was completely pulled down. And, you know, they were able to get a goal before halftime, which was huge, you know, just because mentally, you know, it helps you to get through. And then also, you know, at the halftime, you can just make those tactical adjustments. Mariona scored the penalty kick on a nice you know, clinical finish. But I think the biggest thing in the game was the sending off of Kira Hamwai. I cannot say her name, Brian. I can't. I try.
Well,
we practice.
As we have established on this show, you do have certain pronunciation issues.
Yeah.
So this one I can. Kira Hamraoui.
Yeah, Hamraoui. That's where they go.
Yeah.
So she's a vital part. She basically is almost kind of the Busquets of the team. Like, she is the defensive midfield and just kind of reads the play. She's tall. She's physical. She's definitely very important. But she got two yellow cards in this match, so she was sent off. And when that happened, Barcelona had to go into a really defensive shell, and they basically were just holding on for dear life because Bayern were coming. But fortunately for us, Bayern was not very good on their finishing.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, you got to have finishing to win.
Correct. Correct. They were taking some crazy shots, some lucky shots from outside the box that weren't even close. They had a couple free kicks that weren't even close as well. Most of their opportunities came on crosses, but the women were able to defend it well. And again, they had some really great counters at the end of the game where they could have just clinched the game, really just put on ice, and they just could not finish it because they were so tired. You could just tell they were working so hard. Every time they got the ball, they were trying to make the pass. It was just like, when you're so tired, you just can't do the simple things. And that's what was happening here in this match. But, you know, they were able to get the victory. And again, it's one step closer, but man, they're going to face Lyon now, and they are the powerhouse of women's football.
Yeah, they are. And Hamraoui is going to have to miss the final.
That is true. And that's a huge miss because she is the anchor back there, you know, that links everything. When I saw her play in person, man, she's impressive, just like Martins as well, but that she will be missed. I mean, you know, silly fouls, you know, this in the men's game last night against Levante, the same thing. It's, you just have to know when to make those fouls and what is the cost, right? Sometimes you can just ride a player and they will make the mistake. And on her second one, it was kind of, you know, she was kind of between a rock and a hard place, and she kind of had to foul. But man, it's just, it's too bad. She's really She was emotional after the match. She was crying because she knew she was going to miss it, especially against Leon.
Yeah, I mean, I would be emotional.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm emotional over, like, nothing. Like, sometimes I cry at, like, commercials, you know.
Well, you cried against the Alenia goal. And
we're going
to talk about that later.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, we will talk. We'll get into that later for sure. But there was also a special guest at the match.
There was.
A special attendee, I should say.
A special attendee. That is correct. Mr. Manager, Mr. Valverde, was at the match, and he was taking pictures left and right. I just saw on Twitter that some nuns took pictures with him and so forth. So, yeah. So, I think he's finally able to relax a little bit just because he has La Liga under his belt now. But, you know, he was definitely – it was good to see him. You know, this is the type of thing. If one of the men's players or a group of them went to the match, it would – oh, my God. It would just make it so much – huge. It would just blow up on social media and people would start to pay attention more to the women. So this, again, they're still in Liga Iberdrola race. I mean, that's still Atletico for them to win, but they're still in it, you know? But this Champions League is definitely something that they implemented a couple of years ago. So it's good to see them get that much closer.
Yeah. I mean, getting to the Women's Champions League final and taking second place in Liga Iberdrola, that's a good season.
Yeah,
particularly definitely. With the, you know, Michelle might talk about this later next week or not, I don't know, but they've really been on the ascent the last few years, and I think that this season is another indicator that everything's going well, everything is going to plan, you know, maybe not this year, but maybe next year, but either way, you know, they've been showing steady improvement, they've made some really key signings, particularly with Martins and Duggan. But also, I mean, and Hamraoui, she came in this year.
Yep.
So these have been some really key signings for them. And the project is going well.
Yeah. And I also think the other addition, too, is the new coach. You know, they just had more consistent results. So that's a huge thing because in the last couple of months, they've just been more consistent in winning and getting those results. And whereas before, they had the talent, but they were just losing a match here away when they should have, you know, got those points. And last year in Champions League, against Leon, it was very difficult. But, you know, I think also the coach making that move was huge as well because he's been able to find a strong 11 and been able to manage the players a bit better than the previous coach.
Yeah, so very exciting for all sides. Get your Barca Talk merchandise on our Etsy store. We have a bunch of T-shirt designs, including my personal favorite, the We Have Messi, You Don't T-shirt. And, of course, the beautiful Barca Talk coffee mug. So if you want any of the Barca Talk merchandise, go to barcatalk.net. Did I say Barca Talk enough?
Mm-hmm.
Barca B, despite being full of talent and having a pretty high market value among their players, they seem to struggle for some reason against other reserve sides. Here to analyze the situation is Max Bleuer.
There was a bitter pill for Barca B to swallow this week, as a cruel loss away to Valencia Mestalla left the boys with very little chance of making the promotion playoffs at the end of the season. The 1-0 loss, during which Barça B dominated, but Valencia Mestalla keeper Emilio Bernad put in a man-of-the-match performance, leaves García Pimienta and his team in 7th place. Yet another loss to a fellow B team begs the question, just why are Barça so bad against the filiales, or reserve sides, of other Primera clubs? Let me hit you with some stats. Of their 10 games against fellow reserve sides, Barca have picked up just 1 win, 4 draws, and 5 losses. What's more, that win was a fraught 3-2 victory over Atletico Levante, who, after Barca, have the second worst record against other B teams in the division. Compare that record to Villarreal's B team, who with 1 game against the filial still to play, have twice as many points as Barca B, and 4 times as many victories. In fact, of all the reserve sides in Group 3 of Segunda División B, the reserves of Espanyol, Girona, Levante, Villarreal, and Valencia, and of course Barca, it is the Catalan giants who have by far the worst record. In a mini-league comprised of only the reserve teams, Barca B would be bottom, the only team with just 1 win, and only 7 points after 10 games. So what's going on here? Logically, one might think that Barca might have an easier time of it against other academy sides, that don't have the physicality and experience of all the teams, allowing the technical quality honed in La Masia to shine through. That clearly hasn't been the case though, and perhaps the reason lies in the profile of Barca B's squad this year. The standout difference, both compared to the Barca B of recent years and the other reserve teams in the division, is age. Barca only have 1 player over the age of 20, 21-year-old Carlos Perez. This is apart from the 22-year-old Fran Sarsenadas, who's been injured since October. Whereas Villarrealbe have several players in their mid-20s, including a 27-year-old centre-forward. Likewise, Valencia Mestalla have several players in their mid-20s too. This strategy of picking a reserve team with more experienced players is serving Villarrealbe well. They are third in the division and strongly in the fight for a playoff place. Barca's squad, meanwhile, is predominantly made up of youngsters, kids who were playing in the UEFA Youth League last season and for whom this is their first season playing against professionals. Indeed, Guillem, Miranda, Mingueza and Montru played in the Youth League semi-final defeat to Chelsea during the week. This is quite the contrast to Barca B's strategy for the last few seasons, which, like Valencia and Villarreal, was to bring in more experienced players in the pursuit of short-term results, but at the expense of La Masia products getting game time. The strategy failed dramatically last season, when Barca B were relegated from Segunda, despite having stuffed the squad with imports from abroad, and even loans from other La Liga clubs such as David Costas, borrowed from Celta Vigo, and now a member of Celta's first team squad, having developed his game with playing time, at the expense of a La Masia centre-back, like Chumi. Thankfully, the club hierarchy has seen the error of its ways, and this season ditched the outside imports, and instead promoted a swathe of players from the youth teams at La Masia. This has meant that Barça B have the youngest average age in the division. Barça have clearly been lacking a little experience in professional football this season, something that the likes of Villarrealbe have brought in from outside their academies, and it is this lack of experience that may well have cost Barça B their shot at a return to Segunda this year. But let's not despair. Guys like Ricky Puig, Juan Miranda and Oriol Busquets are all much stronger for their year in Segunda B, and whether they are back in the B squad next year, get promoted to the first team, or go out on loan, they have already developed both physically and tactically this year, and have shown that they have what it takes to make it in professional football. This wouldn't have happened if Barça B had pursued the same strategy as they did in previous years, or Villarreal and Valencia did this year, and made signings that would have halted the progression of the La Masia products. So although Barça B may have thrown away almost all chance of reaching the playoffs, much of which was down to their terrible record against other reserve sides, the experience these La Masia products have gained in Segunda B this year, experience they wouldn't have gotten had the club continued its policy of strengthening through signings, will be invaluable for their own careers, and for Barça B next year, as they look to make it back to Segunda. I'm talking about Barça B playing in Segunda B next year, because their chances of making the playoffs are as good as over. After the 1-0 loss to Valencia Mestalla last weekend, a 1-0 draw this Sunday with Badalona leaves Barça B in 7th place, 5 points off the playoff places. Coach García Pimienta has goalkeeper Iñaki Peña to thank for the point earned against Badalona, after he kept out a spot kick, his third penalty save of the season, after Ronald Araujo scored Barca's goal from a corner. Barça B's next game will be away to Lleida next Sunday.
Now at this point in the show, we normally do the Barça Talk Guard of Honor, where we say thanks to one of our patrons on Patreon. But today, we want to focus on a special offer we're running right now, because it's the end of the year, Barcelona have just won La Liga, so we're going to give away a Barcelona jersey to one of our patrons at the end of May. Anyone who's a patron on the last day of May will be entered into a drawing for a Barcelona jersey, either the current season's or the next season's jersey, if you want to get ahead on that. So joining Patreon is easy. Membership starts at $3 a month, and you can cancel any time. So if you're not currently a patron, you can become one on May 1st, cancel it after 1 month if you want, and you'll have a chance to win that jersey. But in that time, you'll be able to listen to the bonus episodes that come out on Thursday, and we hope you'll decide to stay on as a patron. You know, thousands of you enjoy this podcast every week, and we have some really great things in the works right now, so consider signing up. Again, go to barcetalk.net. There's a link to Patreon there. All right, so let's talk about La Liga. It's been a La Liga week, both matches, but let's start with the midweek match, match day 34 against Alaves, where we won 2-0. You know, one nice thing about my current life work situation is that I can usually watch these midweek games live, because as you know, on the East Coast of the U.S., it's in the middle of the day just about, or in early afternoon. But I'm lucky that I can watch these games live, because apart from teaching my class 3 times a week, I make my own schedule. And on this day, obviously, I was heavy into working on the final stages of the dissertation, but on Tuesday, it was pretty far from finished. So on one hand, it was nice to be able to take a break from it, watch a game. But on the other hand, I wasn't terribly interested in watching it. I mean, I watched it, but my heart wasn't exactly in it, because I was really distracted. And I have to say, honestly, I was worried that the players would be just as uninterested as me because, you know, it's Tuesday, playing Alaves. They, you know, they're just coming off the weekend match. But they actually did come out strong for at least the first 20 minutes or so.
Sure. I mean, I would have to echo your same sentiments. I was kind of uninterested in this match in that just the way they've been playing lately in La Liga, they've been kind of conserving their energy and just trying to eke out these victories, right? So I could see that. And also just the style of play that we've been playing lately, they just haven't inspired the all-out attack of Barca goals that we're used to. So I definitely echo your sentiments, but I did watch the match while I was working in the background. So I was watching the match, but you know, Valverde made some lineup changes again. So at least he's making some lineup changes gearing up for this Liverpool match here. So I think for me, giving Messi a rest was huge. He did this not only against Alaves, but Levante, you know, not starting him and having him come in the second half, which I think is key. But my only gripe in this lineup is the Suarez thing, because again, why does Suarez have to play the full 90 minutes again? Again, it's just, he is a striker. He is a aggressive striker. He needs the break, you know, just give him a break. But, you know, I was really excited to see Alenia because as we talked about, not only is he a Masia player, but just seeing him get more games this season and filling into this role and becoming more active is really exciting.
Oh, yeah. And he's really looking like a proper first team player.
Sure.
You know, last year when he started to make some appearances for the first team, he looked exactly like what he was, which was a B player, a young B player who's been given some minutes with the first team. Now he really looks like he belongs there. And I love seeing him in the lineup. I'm a little bummed out that Vidal was in there. Only because, like, before the match, I should say, when the lineup was first announced, I thought, like, okay, that's cool. I understand what he's doing. I understand this lineup because we know how Valverde is. But can you just imagine if it were Busquets, Alenia, and Arthur? I just think it would be so much more slick.
Yeah.
And, like, fun to watch.
I'd agree. But, you know, Valverde just loves Vidal, man. He loves what he brings. And, you know, I don't know if it's the Basque in him from being from Athletic before, but he just loves that physicality that Vidal brings, even though Artur would be a better passer, right? Better of the possession.
Right.
But for him, he just prefers Vidal. The other thing too, you know what's a nice luxury to have is Umtiti to step in as a sub.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good luxury.
Yeah, I mean, he came in and he looked solid as fine. I mean, again, he looks as though he's 100% healthy. He looked perfectly fine in this match. Obviously, playing along with PK, they have that relationship from last year, so that's pretty easy for him. I guess, you know, as we have always kind of been saying the last couple of weeks, and maybe for me for all seasons, is the Malcolm thing. I wish he would have got some playing time over Suarez. I mean, we need Suarez 100% fully fit, fully energized for Liverpool, because he is going to be the catalyst against Van Dijk, for example. And, you know, he's been playing not only this match, but in the Levante match. So those are two times that he's playing full matches. So I would have just liked to have seen some subs with that. But everything else, you know, especially with Alenia coming in, I thought that was nice because he's getting more playing time. And next season, he'll probably even get more playing time.
Yeah, and there seemed to be sort of a theme about it, which is about rest. I mean, I was taking a rest. You were taking a rest. And a lot of players wound up taking a rest with this lineup. I mean, because the back line was a little interesting, right? Because he gave Alba a rest as well and played Sergio Roberto at left back for the first half. And then he switched Sergi and Semedo for the second half, at least until Jordi Alba came on. Sure. So there's a lot of resting going on.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I would like to see throughout the season, Brian. I mean, this is the type of substitution you should do starting in September. You know, just sprinkling starters, especially against teams that you know on paper that you can win, right? Because you still have power and starters all throughout the lines. You know, you're not completely subbing. And, you know, my argument is if you did this all season, then maybe you get better results now with that lineup because they know how to play with each other. And also you're just conserving rest and minutes. I mean, for example, Rakitic was able to get the full night off, which was great. And because he's a vital player, you know, a lot of Kules argue what he does and so forth, but his defensive, you know, responsibilities are huge. He plays so many minutes. Again, you know, just having this type of lineup, maybe September, October, November.
Right.
They know how to play with each other. So then in this final push, it's very easy. And maybe they can win 3-0 or 4-0 because it's not the first time they're playing together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the 2-0 was quite suitable. But I, sure. I take your point. And speaking of which, how badly do we need to have a proper backup for Jordi Alba, like a real left back?
I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's, that should be, I think, before the De Ligt signing, that should be our number one signing.
So yeah, I was thinking that the other day, too. It's like, yeah, De Ligt, it's very exciting. He's very young. He's a center back. But we're in a really good position as far as center backs go at this moment. Meanwhile, the left back position, like Jordi Alba is, he is just a man.
Yeah.
He's only mortal.
Correct.
He needs someone. We need someone to actually be backing him up and not one of the other fullbacks just sort of filling in, and certainly not Vermeulen.
Sure. Sure. And that's the thing is that, you know, for example, Lucas Digne is having a great season for Everton this year. He's starting, he's doing well, and he would be really nice this season to have him playing there because, again, not only is Alba playing so many minutes for Barcelona, but also he's being called for the Spanish national team as well here and there. So Alba's being pulled in many different directions. You know, you cannot ask him going forward, especially with his age and his minutes that he has, that he's going to have a complete season like this. You have to plan for rest and also injuries that would happen. You know, having it like as I have here in the notes, I would love to sign a perfect, you know, doppelganger of Lucas Digne, you know, a young player who you can kind of grow into the position, spot start here and there, and you don't lose that much defensive, and you just able to spell Alba rest because, you know, the one thing that Alba does better than any other left back is the way he's able to bomb up that left line.
Yeah.
Right. And you just get tired, man. If you play 10 games in a row, you're just not as fast and as nimble like the squirrel that he is in the 10th game as opposed to the first game. You know, so you got to give him some break. So that should be a priority signing this summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it really seems to be a crack in the armor. Because, putting Sergio Roberto back there, or putting Semedo back there, you know, whatever, or that one time you put Vermeulen back there. That's like putting duct tape over a crack, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing, too, is that when you don't have a left back that, you know, a reserve left back that you can count on, you also do crazy formations. And I don't use crazy, but you can go to the three back, right? But then all of a sudden when you do that, that's not our style. So it doesn't suit us and it'll just put us into flux. So, more importantly, a left back that Valverde has confidence in as well.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But so the theme of this game was just be good enough to win, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had the possession. We had, you know, we outpossessed them 76%, basically, you know, with 12 key passes. But, this game and the game last night, my takeaway is, you know, there are – making a concerted effort to conserve themselves, to not really push themselves, only to do enough to get the goals. I would like to see more shots on goal, especially when they're in the box, Brian. Like Suarez, even Alba, when he's in the box, he should. I think we overpass still too much. And, you know, against Alaves, we had opportunities where I think we could have had shots. I mean, we did have 16 total shots, and on paper it sounds, you know, a lot of shots. But watching the match, it just didn't feel like any of them were really dangerous for the keeper to save.
Right. Well, only 6 were on target, and we actually converted 2 of those. So when you look at the on target shots, 6 is actually pretty low for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is that, you know, with Dembele playing, I would love to see him shoot a bit more. I think he's, you know, waits too much to make the overpass. And I get it. You're trying to play the style, but also it's, you know, when you're in the box, you're pretty close to the goal, so just get the goal, you know? So,
little known fact about soccer.
Yeah.
When you're in the box, you're very close to the goal.
And if you're a world-class player, you should be able to just shoot. And of course, like maybe if the keeper makes a save, you get a rebound, then you have someone to slop it up. But again, you know, this is the thing. It's conserving. Obviously you can just see all these previous matches, Brian, just leading up to what is going to be the most important match against Liverpool.
Yeah, and I'm totally for conserving, mm-hmm. both in terms of squad rotation and in terms of how you approach the game. You know, maybe not putting it into fifth gear, just mm-hmm. trying to, like, conserve your energy a little bit, because this is exactly the thing that broke our hearts last year, right? It was we went so hard for La Liga and to try and, like, preserve this winning streak that we lost to Roma when we had the lead, right? So we obviously don't want a repeat of that. So any little thing that can position the squad better to perform better against Liverpool, that is the order of the day. And especially now that we've clinched La Liga, now we can just really focus just about all of our resources on the Champions League.
Sure, sure. Again, you know, I would rather see this approach going into this match, because I think it's better to have all that stored up kind of energy in your legs to get ready for one big match. Again, I just hope that, you know, in the beginning of the match, we're not sleepwalking because of this conservation of energy, you know? Like, for example, against Man U in those first 10 minutes, because Liverpool can finish. And if we are lackadaisical at the beginning, that will definitely hurt us. So I hope that this conservation doesn't make us, you know, lose that edge that we have.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Correct. You know, after all this year complaining, like, we got to conserve, we got to rotate, and then we just get, you know, we don't show up, you know, because we haven't had that edge. So again, I would rather have this approach, because I think it's easier to get into gear when you have been rested, you know?
Yeah.
I think so.
I'm not worried about their level of energy for the Liverpool tie.
Yeah.
You know, especially the first leg at home, it's Liverpool, it's the semifinal. They're going to be bringing a lot of energy from the first whistle, I think.
Sure.
I'm not really worried about that. But in this match, the second goal was on a penalty kick. Suarez scored it, so all well and good. It helped seal the victory. But 5 minutes prior was the first goal by Carlos and Alenia, and that's the thing that we need to talk about.
Sure. Again, you know, for me, this goal is just kind of what Barcelona does great always. It's the pressure defense to get the ball right back. But then when you get the ball back, what you do with it and how quickly we can just counter and score a goal, I just think is, you know, it's incredible to do that, because it's so hard to do that in football. But again, we were pressuring Alves. Alves clears the ball. Pique chest passes it to Busquets. Like, Pique is able to read the play and he makes a chest pass to Busquets turns and gives it to Sergio Roberto, your boy.
Yeah.
And then he just plays with Vidal, and Vidal just gives him a give and go bounce pass back. And Sergio Roberto does the thing that he does great, is cutting in to the box. And he made a nice pass. And of course, Suarez read it, kind of felt the force of Alenia behind him, and he just let that dummy run. And Alenia, first touch with his left, finish. I mean, it took about 6 seconds, essentially, you know,
or maybe 8 seconds.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that is lovely to see, is that killer instinct, right? I mean, I get it that sometimes, you know, during the match, we're just trying to possess the ball. But when we have to, you know, like against Real Sociedad, when we were pressing high like that and we can just turn it over and just go into attack mode, it's amazing to see. It's awesome to see.
Yeah, that goal filled me with so much joy. I have to, mainly because I think because Sergio Roberto was involved, because Alenia was involved, I really appreciated Vidal's role in that. You know, rather than receiving the ball and trying to do something with it, he recognized Sergi's run, so he just gave him the wall pass back, right? One touch. And Sergi's run, diagonal, you know, running in. And then, I mean, I've watched this goal on replay many times. When Alenia starts his run, you could just start to see everything click into place, and Suarez does the dummy, which often doesn't work, but this time it did, and Alenia runs onto it, and he's in on goal. I mean, it's the kind of thing that we used to see a lot of years ago with a different squad and a different manager, and it was at that time that I first really started to get into Barcelona. Which was a good time, right? It was probably one of the best teams in history. Never mind Barcelona history, of footballing history. So that was a really good time. So, but this goal reminded me so much of that other time, and my reaction was very protracted. I just could not get over it. Megan was sitting right next to me on the couch, and I didn't just cheer. I just sort of. I don't know. It was like some great gift had been given to me, and I was just like nonstop. Like, did you see that? Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. So it really reminded me of another time and another squad in a really beautiful way. So there was like a bit of nostalgia in it for me as well. And it was beautifully worked.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the other thing too, I think is, you know, as we see our biggest rival right now, Real Madrid, struggling to find out their squad and performance and stuff, it's great to see that not only that we have players in Barcelona right now that are going to play for the next couple of years, but are so consistent, right? Just because of our La Liga titles, but also to see the newcomers adopt and just seamlessly play with us, like Alenia, for example, on that moment, right? So I think that's also just a great thing to see, that we're continuing to produce quality players, right? It doesn't have to be the six like we did in that one time, but, you know, having Alenia play these matches, but also look the part and score goals is something that's awesome, because that's all you really want too. You want to also bring these academy players and also succeed, right? You invest all this resource at the beginning to hopefully they can make it to the first team. So it's just great to see that. And especially in that moment, like, he was able to read the play, and that is just something that is, you know, untaught, right? Like, that's just instinct. And like you said, it was just the dummy worked, and he was so composed. Left, stopped the ball with his left foot, looked up, shot, and goal. I mean, tic-tac-toe.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's just such like a hard on thing the training ground. Yeah?
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, like I said, he's always been touted as a good player coming through the ranks. I'm really excited to see him get more playing time. But also, you know, a couple times he didn't look that good this season, just, you know, in the run of play, essentially. But it's good to see that he's getting more time. And we can just project now physically how he's going to look, and also how he plays. It's you know, you got to get excited.
Yeah, yeah, I am excited. All right, well, there's another La Liga match, La Liga Part 2, that we should talk about. But real quick, I just want to say, support the show through our Amazon Marketplace. This is just another way that you can help support the show if you don't want to do the Patreon thing. We have this Amazon storefront with products that we have curated and selected for you and your pleasure. So this, and we, every week, we choose a new product to add to the marketplace. This week, I selected a sort of a travel item. It's this power bank. It's very small, portable, and you can charge your electronic devices, you know, mainly your phone, with it. And this thing, this is the exact one that I took on my trip recently, and it got me through the days in Spain. There were times where I just had this kicking it in my jacket pocket while I was charging my phone, because, you know, when you're traveling, you're using your phone a lot. I was using it a lot for maps. And even though my wife did not want to pay for any international data, I think by day two, I just decided, like, no, I'm paying for it because I need to find places. I don't know how to read a map anymore. Like, I need an app on my phone to do it.
Yeah.
So I was using my phone so much, and this thing came in super handy. Very like an essential travel item, or even just a regular life item if you are just in a place where you need to charge your phone but you don't have, I don't know, the normal things available to you. So it's a really, really cool thing. It's a really small power bank. It's a great little piece. What did you pick this week, Gabriel?
This week I picked a FC Barcelona soccer backpack, and this backpack is, you know, pretty nice backpack. Not only does it have the FC Barcelona logo on there, but also it has a pocket so you can put your soccer ball or basketball or any type of ball in there, which is, I think, is really cool. Sometimes, you know, I remember when I was playing, I used to have this big obnoxious soccer bag, you know, because you had to put the ball, you had to put all your gear in there, and it was fine, but, you know, to walk around, it's very, you know, uncomfortable and so forth. And this makes it a lot easier. It has room for your shoes, you know, a place for the ball. So it's just more convenient to carry your stuff around. So that's my item for the week, is this FC Barcelona soccer backpack.
Yeah. And at least you didn't play hockey.
That's true. That's true.
That's a whole lot. That's way more gear.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot of gear.
Yeah. All right. So La Liga Part 2, this is match day 35. And this was the day earlier in the morning. I was watching the Atletico match, and I was just thinking how, like, man, if they lose, then we've won the league, which is kind of an anticlimactic way for it to happen. Sure. You'd at least like for it to happen, you know, as a result of your own game. But luckily, Atletico did not disappoint. They won their morning game. And so then it was on us. It was on Barcelona to win the league on that day. And they did. in a 1-0 win with a 62nd goal from Messi to make it 1-0. And what can you say about, honestly, I have to say, giving Messi the first half off, bringing him in the second half, we've talked about this. This is exactly what you want to do with the Champions League looming. You want to keep him pretty fresh, but you also want to keep him match fit. But also the Coutinho, Dembele, Suarez lineup. Valverde did this against Alaves as well, and I like it. It's kind of a weird thing, right? To not have Messi playing is insane. Right? But at the same time, because we've talked about how, particularly with Coutinho, when Messi is on the pitch as well, Coutinho doesn't do as well. You take Messi off and you give Coutinho a more defined role, you give Dembele a more defined role, and then suddenly Coutinho plays better because he actually had some really good opportunities in that first half.
He did. I mean, with this lineup, like you said, Dembele, Coutinho, Suarez, actually on the heat map for this match and the previous match, we were more heavy on the right side of attack.
Yeah, so, and that's a first.
That is a first, and it's all about Dembele. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, because with Messi missing, Dembele is the catalyst to the attack, because not only is he super fast, but also the way he's able to break in as well. He can feed the ball to Suarez, and he looks to feed Suarez as well. So again, like in this match, he was able to link up with Semedo and the midfield as well, go on that right side. And that also relays to more space and opportunity for Coutinho. Now, we saw him with the shot that he was able to do. Again, like I was telling my friend when I was watching the match, it's like he had more time to make a better shot, but he felt like he was rushed, and then he just kicked it right to the keeper. But at least he was able to get a shot off, right? So moral victories, yeah. I guess, on this one.
Well, the headed shot, that was the one bummed me out.
That totally bummed me out.
Because he's coming into the box, he's completely unmarked, he gets a perfect ball in, and he just heads it right to the goalkeeper. And I just think for what we paid for him, he should do better in that moment.
That's the thing. Like, I was telling my friend, too. I was like, if I were heading the ball and I headed to the center, he'd be like, okay, I'm not a professional. So
right.
You're forgiven, you know?
Yeah.
But come on, left or right? You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't as though he had someone hanging on him. It was an open, free header that if he makes that goal, like, for example, I bet you the majority of people kind of just whitewash the season because that goal basically clinches the league.
Right.
You know? And he can kind of just – maybe that gives him more confidence. But, man, it's just – those two shots were the microcosm of this season for me. Just he had the patented shot and he kind of fluffed it, and then he had a header – and he wasn't able to convert. And, you know, in these matches, I know this match wasn't the most crucial, but again, it just, if we score that goal, it just puts us easier. We can just play around even more. Maybe we win 4-0. And I would have much rather that, because Brian, I can honestly tell you, this game was a bit boring for me, even though I was waiting for this moment of the coronation. You know, it was just the passing was killing me, man.
Oh yeah. No, as a game, you know, if you take the context out of it, if you take, you know, the stakes of it, out of the equation, it's just a game. It was not especially exciting to watch. It's only because of the context that it became a little bit exciting. But, you know, again, about that Coutinho headed attempt, I really feel like it looked like a Premier League kind of play. And I just wonder if sometimes he still has that Premier League mentality, which is just get the shot off, because he had so much space around him. He could have actually let the ball fall to his feet and maybe even have a better attempt. But, you know, he wanted to, and I get this. I understand it. I'm not trying to criticize it too much, but he could have let it go to his feet and really put a good finish in and scored on it. But, of course, he wanted to essentially get the shot off as quickly as possible, and the easiest way to do that is to head it, and then we saw the result there. So that seemed to me to be, like, just almost a little bit of a lack of finesse.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very finesse player in many ways, except he doesn't seem to be very comfortable on his left, which starts to bug me a little bit. But as far as this play goes, you know, he was just like, get it, put it on the goal.
Yeah, yeah. Again, without Messi, he definitely played a lot better, but he still, for me, has to play even better because he's a world-class player. Like you said, for what we paid, he shouldn't be making these mistakes, you know, or not even mistakes, but just he should be able to score more. And again, especially with Messi not there in the first half, he had a lot of space, especially like on that first shot. He could even dribble a little bit more even.
Yeah.
If he wanted to, you know, and again, you just got to know your opponent, the space, and I don't know. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Because I want to see him do well, because if he does well and scores, then we win.
Right, you know? Exactly.
So it's super frustrating.
Yeah, well, I hope that he just continues to not listen to the criticism. And
yeah, exactly.
Stick his fingers in his ears and work on his game. Because, again, like it's not just like what we paid for him. It's the fact that, I think he was worth it. And he hasn't really been playing at his potential, because we know he's better than what he's been doing. That's the whole thing. We're not mad at you, Coutinho. We're just disappointed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is.
I mean, can you think of a Barca player in the last, you know, ever since you've been following them, where he had a great kind of start and it's just fizzled with more playing time, you know?
I can't think of anyone who's suffered this particular trajectory in the last 9 years.
I mean, we talk about it last season, just the half season, he had about 11 goals or so, you know? And I was projecting double, you know, 20. And that was really going to help our team with the balance, less messy dependency, you know, that type of thing. But he's just been a no-show for these. And especially like against Levante, you should be able to mop those opportunities up.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. But speaking of Messi.
Mm. He's the best, man.
He is the best.
So I had this friend back home, and he's a really good friend, and he would always mix up on sayings. Okay, so he would always, one time he texted us and he just said, "What can say?" instead of saying, "What can you say?" Right?
Right.
So let me start this off with the "What can say" about Messi, man. I mean, this guy is just ridiculous, and it's really, really, really hard to put into context now, because we just come to see it every match, and you know, especially like with this goal that he did last night. But man, let's just talk about his record with the team. You know, he's basically come in and revolutionized not only football, Spanish football, but Barcelona, right? Like, he now has 10 La Liga titles since he's been on the team. It's the 8 of last 11, which is incredible. I mean, there's no other, maybe Bayern is closest, you know, but they don't really have a rival like Real Madrid. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not as highly touted as here in La Liga. And man, it's always a pleasure to watch him. But also, I mean, can we just like talk about that goal last night? Because it wasn't the most spectacular goal, but I just think this symbolizes Messi as how great he is as a player, Brian, because in this moment, if you watch the replay, Vidal did a great job of getting the ball back, which was, he comes in and gets the ball and he delivers it right to Messi. But right before Messi gets onside, okay, he like scoots over to get onside, receives the ball. Any other player shoots right there.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to get blocked by the two guys. But what does Messi do? He sees everything in slow motion. He takes it back and just hits it one time very quickly. And we get the goal. I mean, it's just a thing of beauty. It looks simple, Brian, but my gosh, it is in that moment with all the stuff that's going around you to be able to slow it down and just hit that shot. And then he just wins the league. I mean, any doubt, you know?
I know. And I saw a replay in slow motion from a really good angle. The camera was pretty much pointed straight at him, but at an angle. And you can see how he waits before he shoots, because the defenders are actually going the other way and going past him. And he waits that fraction of a second to get the clear shot. And his it's weird to call it patience because it all happened so fast, but it really was a show of patience that he set himself up so perfectly for that shot. And then the finish, well, that's just classic Messi.
Yeah. The other thing too is, you know, how many other players, when they bring it back, are going to overhit it and they lose control?
Right.
Right. That's the thing. Or when he got the ball from Vidal, those are like the things when I used to play, those are the moments where you're either going to have a scoring opportunity or not, because a bad player is not going to be able to control that, you know? And the way the ball is always so close to him to be able to control that amongst the traffic that's going around, it's just incredible. And again, I mean, you know, I've been listening, Brian, to a bunch of podcasts this week, because obviously the match with Liverpool is just looming and everyone's excited about it worldwide, right?
Yeah.
'Cause it's just a huge, especially with the style of play, right, for both teams. And a lot of pundits are outside of Spain, for the most part, are giving Liverpool a bit of a slight edge, just because as we talk about, Premier League gets more pub, right? But again, Brian, what do I have here as in our t-shirt? We have Messi, you don't. So
yeah, you know. We have Salah, you don't. It just doesn't ring the same. It's not because we have Messi and you don't. And I have actually, I have to say, I think there was a really interesting benefit to starting without Messi, leaving him out in the first half and then putting him in the second half, because in that first half, honestly, I thought they looked good. I liked all of the width that we got with Coutinho and Dembele especially, because the thing I've noticed about Coutinho, we've talked about this and complained about it, about how Coutinho does not go out wide. He doesn't go all the way down to the end line. He wants to be a little bit more inside, and this worked out for him in this match because Messi wasn't there, and Dembele gives the width out to the right. So I really liked all of that. Again, Coutinho had a good game. He had these good opportunities, didn't convert on them, and yes, that's disappointing. You know, we've talked about that, of course. But then when Messi comes on in the second half, everything kicks into a whole new gear. If you watch this game, you can really see the difference that he makes. By just coming on and playing his game, he suddenly takes the team to a new level. Like, they were at a perfectly fine level, and I think that even if Messi had not played all 90 minutes, I think we would have broken through. We would have scored eventually with someone. But man, when he came on in the second half, just he's a firecracker, you know?
Yeah.
He just adds something. He's just like new octane. Like He's like 92 octane.
I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, especially with him in the middle, he just drives the attack more direct, you know, and that's basically the difference. You know, I was thinking about this because, you know, our style of why was the first half kind of boring, right? And I was thinking about this, you know, we still do the give and go, the tiki-taka, but for me, it's just not as fast as it used to be,
right?
You know, when we had Xavi and Iniesta. And when you have that fast, I just think you lose the engagement of the players, because the players right now kind of going through the motion to pass and do it, but they just don't all move in unison like we used to. So when you're moving the ball around left to right, but you're moving forward too, there's a purpose to that, you know? And I think that's what, you know, for example, having Vidal, you know, he did a couple times, you know, make some good passes in there, but he's not a player that can do that all the time. You know, if you stop pulling at him with Sergio Roberto is going to be able to do that. Maybe Alenia, you know, because of the quality from La Masia that they've learned this. So I think that is the thing, you know, going forward, you know, for next season. If we don't have the ability to completely always do tiki-taka, I want to see a little bit more direct approach at times, especially like in this match. I thought we didn't shoot enough, even though we did shoot 23 shots. I just felt that we overpassed, and we were continually to overpass, especially in the first half. Like when Suarez had an opportunity, he tucked it and passed it. Dembele had an opportunity to score, to shoot, and he didn't. Alba looks to pass too much for me sometimes. I'm just saying, especially when you don't have Messi, you know, just go for some shots.
Right.
A little bit more shots on goal, you know?
Yeah, just
make it a little exciting, you know? Just that's the thing. It's like, I would rather have, you know, especially in this match against Levante, that I know that, you know, Levante shouldn't beat us at home. Take those shots, even though we'd lose possession, but at least make an effort, because for me, that's what I want to see. I don't want to just see possession 80% with one shot.
Right. Yeah, that's – oh.
Yeah, I know.
Like a,
I know. It's,
that sounds like a dud.
I know it's a tough line, right, because you're kind of mixing our DNA style. But I feel as though, like I said earlier, if you're inside the box, just take that shot, especially if you have the angle to do so, you know.
Right.
And I just – especially Dembele. Dembele – lately has not shot the ball at all.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, it sort of depends on your manager, right? Because Pep talks about how it's not about possession for the sake of possession, right? There is that aspect, which is that if you have the ball, your opponent doesn't and they can't score. It's sort of, you know, defense through possession. But that's more of a byproduct. Like with Pep, it's possession so that you can take shots. It's possession so that you can play. Whereas with Valverde, he does seem to be he seems to be more conservative, as we've mentioned many, many times. But yeah, the possession game, if he's adopting it, which, you know, apparently he is, it does seem to at times be for its own sake versus to create chances, to create opportunities, to score.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, hey, you know, He's got two titles now, which is more than he ever won managing Athletic Bilbao for, what, 12 years?
Yeah, yeah. That's the other thing, too, that, you know, remember how you were talking a couple episodes? You said that you were not worried about La Liga because you thought Valverde is, you know, he handles that, right. You know? And I couldn't agree more, right? Like, La Liga, he knows it inside out. I'm comfortable with that. It's just managing these other tournaments that we have. Again, like you said, you cannot argue with the two La Liga titles. I just think always there's a little bit easier way to do that, to stress less, make it fun too, right? You don't have to make it so 1-0 victory. But again, it's another shutout, Brian. So again, I can't, you know, we're picking nits here.
Right, right. And what was that? I think that was Ter Stegen's 14th clean sheet this season, just in La Liga.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had to make a couple of saves here and there, and he makes enough saves to keep the clean sheet. And that's always what you ask, because he's not going to get 23 shots like the best keeper in the world is, you know.
Right.
But he'll get to, you know, 6 or 7, and he just has to make those saves at those times. And when he does, he's called upon and he's able to do it. So yeah. Ter Stegen, yet again, just a stud.
Yeah. And Barcelona's 26th La Liga title in history, having won 8 out of the last 11.
Yeah,
I mean, this really, we're still in a golden age, I think.
I mean, we're still, it's funny because I was thinking about this. It's like Barcelona lately, especially since this run with Pep that started and everything, I feel as though they're the team that I stress the less about, the least about. Like my other teams, they have peaks and valleys of how successful they are, you know, in the season. But I just feel, you know, obviously in the last 10 seasons or so, we've been 1 or 2. And it's been very stressless because I just know we're going to be at the top of that. Obviously, it's really nice when we win La Liga, even nicer when we win the Tripleta.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, of course, when you're in it, you know, like you say something like, oh, we're playing Huesca, we're going to win. And then we win, right? It's when you look at it on the stat sheet, you know, you look at it in the paper the next morning, it all makes sense, right? But when you're actually watching it, when you're actually in the thick of it, it's not so easy. So there is that fact that, like, yeah, we can feel pretty secure that we will either win La Liga or be in maybe second place, just sort of abstractly. But of course, you know, going through the slog, you know, the marathon that is La Liga.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so easy when you're actually paying attention to it moment to moment, game to game. But yeah, I take your point.
And I saw an interesting stat in the paper today. I think it was more than 300 La Liga games in this run.
Wow.
Something like this. And we've won 8 out of 11. Whereas, like, if you're in a Champions League run, you're going to get max 30.
Right.
Yeah. So just like, again, just as a comparison of what it is to be consistent. And especially with this, you know, this league is so competitive with the amount of talent that there is. You know, obviously, I would say, yes, the Premier League is from top to bottom. You have more upsets. But I think top-heavy teams are much better in La Liga than in the Premier League. So, again, it's just, again, you can't argue with Valverde throughout the season. He has pushed the right buttons. We got a second La Liga title in a row under him. Brian, I don't know if I'm excited or nervous for Wednesday, because it's basically like, did he redeem himself from last season?
Right.
And that's really, I mean, unfortunately, that's really what it's coming down to.
Well, we really won't actually know until the second leg.
Yeah, that's true. Right? But I mean, you will know like the start of it. Okay. Yeah. You know, that's the thing.
I mean, I'm both, both nervous and excited.
Wait, before we kind of go talk about, what do you think of the trophy presentation?
Did not watch.
Oh, so let me. So,
Am I a bad fan?
No, not at all. So I just thought it was very curious because this is the first time this has happened in La Liga, because usually they give it after the start of the season.
Right.
So this is the first time they're doing it in season. But what happened was the team was ready for the picture. So they were in the middle of the field and they put the trophy maybe 20 yards to the right. And so the president gives the trophy to Messi, like right there, as opposed to walking the trophy, give it to Messi in front of the team and Messi hoist it, you know? And so Messi just lifted him by himself. And then he brought the cup to the team. And it was just kind of very underwhelming. You know, there was no, like when you watch other leagues, you know, when they bring the trophy, everyone, you know, they raise it up and the sparklers go out behind them and all that kind of stuff. And none of that was existent.
Yeah.
And they had some weird, weird Catalan concert afterwards with this duet. And it was like a love song. And I was just like, man, it's a party. Like, get a DJ up in there. Like, make it all happy. And then they ended it with fireworks. And we were just all, because I was with some friends watching, and we're just like, man, that was the most underwhelming celebration I've ever seen.
Yeah, a little, some poor planning.
Yeah.
Poor production.
And the MC was awful. Awful. He screwed up saying Forza Barca.
How do you screw that up? Forca?
He said Forza Barta.
Barta.
It's like, what?
Forca Barca, everyone.
Yeah, it was, oh my God, we were laughing because it's like, all you had to do is like the president bring the trophy, blast those the streamers behind them, and then have a DJ and get it all fired up and then do the fireworks, done and done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is known. This is a known choreography.
Exactly.
You know, what are you trying to, like upset the paradigm? You're trying to do some genre busting, like new thing?
Check out the duet, man. The duet does not correspond with the moment.
No.
You know, you have all the players and the kids behind them just looking confused.
Yeah.
You know, they're bewildered. They're just like, what's going on behind here? Oh. And they were like singing, like, it was the song almost kind of reminded me of Beauty and the Beast. You know, it was like a love song between the two of them. And it was just like, what? What's going on here?
Do you think there might be some low level trolling going on with that? Like from the.
No, I don't know. I don't know. But yeah.
Very weird.
But anyway, that was, I just thought that was interesting. But really quick, you know, let's hear your emotions before Wednesday's game.
Yeah. Like you said, both excited and nervous. And, you know, going into the Champions League at any level, but particularly the semifinal, you just know that anything can happen. You know that Liverpool is a great team. Looking at the other side of it, if we can get past Liverpool, I would actually feel maybe a little more at ease about the final, because you have to just accept the fact that anything could happen in a final.
Sure.
But as long as we can get past Liverpool, though, I'll just, you know, you just got to, like, at that point, accept it. Accept whatever happens. But at this point in the semifinal against such a great side in Liverpool, I'm really looking forward to seeing how we play. I think we're going to see energy that we haven't seen maybe at all this season.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, like, so I'm really hoping that they, you know, drink some rocket fuel before that match. And I think that they will. I think Messi is really going to fire them up. So I'm looking forward to that. And of course, you know, you're nervous because you know you're going up against a great team. You don't know what they're going to bring. And, you know, they could get off to a good start. They could get an away goal. It's like, oh my God, what if they get an away goal? But we're playing in the Camp Nou. And when was the last time we didn't score in the Camp Nou, right?
Yeah.
So I think we'll at least get a goal. You know, when you start to sort of like parse it out, right? And you start to think about the reality of it and how it might actually shake down. I cannot imagine Liverpool scoring much. You know, I can imagine them scoring a goal, maybe two, but I don't think they're going to blow us out or anything. So I don't know. Well, I'll say this. Once you start thinking about what might happen, just everything proliferates, right? Like obviously, all possibilities start to enter your mind. And there's really only one that we want, which is, you know, a nice 3-goal lead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've played this in my head. I've just come out with like 20 different outcomes, you know, just 20 different things that could happen. And again, this is the height of what Champions League football is. You know, it's the best of the best. We're in it. And so we'll see what happens. I mean, I kind of think back, hopefully we can, you know, look back in our history. Like, for example, when we had the semifinal against Bayern last time when we won the triplete, when we went up 2-0 the first leg at the Camp Nou with one of the best goals I've ever seen by Messi in that chip goal, which was out of sight.
Yeah.
So maybe it's something like that that we can kind of call back on. But I would agree with you. I think that on Wednesday, we're going to see an energized team. Maybe they're drinking the Chernobyl from Hot Tub Time Machine, maybe, you know, that energy drink.
Right.
But I definitely think that, you know, they're not going to see the type of energy and pressure that they'll see on Wednesday night that they've seen all season on tape, for example. So I'm really hoping for that because, you know, Messi's been super hyper-focused on this goal. And I think when he is focused like that, you just can't deny him.
Right. Of course, we do need some very nuts and bolts kinds of things. Like we need a lineup that's going to somehow create some space for him.
Yeah.
Because you know that they're going to try and bottle him up. They're going to try and shut him down.
Sure.
And if you don't create some width somewhere, you're not creating threats in other places. You're not creating space for Messi to work. Then it's all going to, you know, no matter how hard he tries, no matter how great he is.
I mean, the key is for me, is Dembele. I mean, when Dembele is in that lineup, he either he's on the left or the right, he is going to help us tremendously. Because, I mean, we saw last night, when Messi came in, how many times did Dembele spread that line out on the counters?
Exactly.
I mean, it was such, you know, and there's going to be those opportunities, you know? And so when Dembele's in there, we're a formidable attacking team, obviously. We're one of the best. And so Dembele's the key. So I really hope he has a better game, better passing, and better decision-making. Because last night he had a couple decisions that, you know, he overpassed or he slipped or he didn't shoot, you know, this type of thing. I just hope he's more firm. But, man, you know, we have Messi, and so hopefully the X factor will pull out.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, whatever happens, we will talk about it next week on Barca Talk. Thanks to Max Bleuer this week. This has been a production of Barca Talk, written by Gabriel Quiroga and Brian Henderson, editing by Brian Henderson, music by Brian Henderson, social media and promotion by 2.go. Support the show through Patreon, the Amazon Marketplace, and the Barca Talk merchandise store, all to be found at barcatalk.net. And until next time, Visca Barca.